Is that the sea? He asked. You can see it a little more clearly from up here, called Reg, who had walked on a little way up a slippery incline and was now leaning, puffing, against a tree. He pointed. The other two followed him up, pulling themselves noisily through the branches and causing a lot of cawing and complaining from unseen birds high above. The Pacific? Asked Dirk. The Indian Ocean, said Reg. Dirk wiped his glasses again and had another look. Ah, yes, of course, he said. Not Madagascar, said Richard. I've been there. Have you, said Reg, one of the most beautiful and astonishing places on earth, and one that is also full of the most appalling temptations for me. No. His voice trembled slightly, and he cleared his throat. No, he continued, Madagascar is, let me see, which direction are we, where's the sun? Yes, that way, westish. Madagascar is about 500 miles, roughly, west of here. The island of Reunion lies roughly in between. What's the place called? Said Dirk, suddenly rapping his knuckles on the tree and frightening a lizard. Place where that stamp comes from. Mauritius. Stamp? Said Reg. Yes, you must know, said Dirk. Very famous stamp. Can't remember anything about it, but it comes from here. Mauritius. Famous for its very remarkable stamp, all brown and smudged, and you could buy Blenheim Palace with it. Or am I thinking of British Guyana? Only you, said Richard, know what you are thinking of. Is it Mauritius? It is, said Reg. It is Mauritius. But you don't collect stamps? No. What on earth's that? Said Richard suddenly. But Dirk carried on with his thought to Reg. Pity you could get some nice first-day covers, couldn't you? Reg shrugged. Not really interested, he said. Richard slithered back down the slope behind them. So, what's the great attraction here? Said Dirk. It's not, I have to confess, what I was expecting. Very nice in its way, of course, all this nature, but I'm a city boy myself, I'm afraid. He cleaned his glasses once again and pushed them back up his nose. He started backwards at what he saw and heard a strange little chuckle from Reg. Just in front of the door, back into Reg's room, the most extraordinary confrontation was taking place. A large cross bird was looking at Richard, and Richard was looking at a large cross bird. Richard was looking at the bird as if it was the most extraordinary thing he'd ever seen in his life, and the bird was looking at Richard as if defying him to find its beak even remotely funny. Once it had satisfied itself that Richard did not intend to laugh, the bird regarded him instead with a sort of grim, irritable tolerance and wondered if he was just going to stand there or actually do something useful and feed it. It padded a couple of steps back and a couple of steps to the side and then just a single step forward again on great waddling yellow feet. It then looked at him again impatiently and squawked an impatient squawk. The bird then bent forward and scraped its great absurd red beak across the ground, as if to give Richard the idea that this might be a good area to look for things to give it to eat. "It eats the nuts of the Calvaria tree," called out Reg to Richard. The big bird looked sharply up at Reg in annoyance, as if to say that it was perfectly clear to any idiot what it ate. It then looked back at Richard once more and stuck its head on one side, as if it had suddenly been struck by the thought that perhaps it was an idiot it had to deal with, and that it might need to reconsider its strategy accordingly. "There are one or two on the ground behind you," called Reg softly. In a trance of astonishment, Richard turned awkwardly and saw one or two large nuts lying on the ground. He bent and picked one up, glancing up at Reg, who gave him a reassuring nod. Tentatively, Richard held the thing out to the bird, which leant forward and pecked it sharply from between his fingers. Then, because Richard's hand was still stretched out, the bird knocked it irritably aside with his beak. Once Richard had withdrawn to a respectful distance, it stretched its neck up, closed its large yellow eyes, and seemed to gargle gracelessly as it shook the nut down its neck into its maw. It appeared then to be at least partially satisfied. Whereas before it had been a cross dodo, it was at least now a cross fed dodo, which was probably about as much as it could hope for in life. It made a slow, waddling, on-the-spot turn and padded back into the forest whence it had come, as if defying Richard to find the little tuft of curly feathers stuck up on its backside even remotely funny. "I only come to look," said Reg in a small voice, and glancing at him, Dirk was discomforted to see that the old man's eyes were brimming with tears, which he quickly brushed away. "Really, it is not for me to interfere." Richard came scurrying breathlessly up to them. "Was that a dodo?" he exclaimed. Yes, said Reg, one of only three left at this time. The year is 1676. They will all be dead within 4 years, and after that, no one will ever see them again. Come, he said, let us go.